mighty Germany gets a wake-up call about jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Here's one way to write the headline. Unemployment in Europe's largest economy, Germany, today came in four times worse than expected. That is to say, higher. That sounds like a tale of woe, but some context is in order here. The BBC's Steve Evans is in Berlin. Hello, Steve.
Good day to you, David.
In Europe's largest economy, how bad is the labor market then?
It's getting worse. It's not as bad as Spain or Greece, where unemployment is stratospheric. But if you look at the figures, unemployment has risen when you take out seasonal factors. There are 21,000 people more on the unemployed now than there were at the start of the spring. And that is a bigger rise than expected. Now, talk to economists and they are uncharacteristically optimistic. They say, well, the seasonal factors, there were a lot of public holidays in the spring.
Steve, they do point out that the unemployment rate in Germany at 6.9% is still very close to a low for the years since East and West Germany unified.
That's right. But look at other figures here. This economy in Germany is going to grow by something like 0.1% this year. That is historically very low. So the expectation is that the labour market is not going to be as buoyant as Germans are used to. Now, compare it with Spain, and it is triumphant. And that means that people from Spain and Greece are migrating here because they're looking for work. Pretty well everywhere you go, every German course you go to, for example, there will be Spaniards, there will be Greeks learning German because they can't get jobs in their own countries and they think they can get jobs here.
The BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And if I can translate some new numbers this morning from the Paris-based OECD, the world economy could grow, okay, 3.1%, a bit slower than previously forecast. The prediction for the U.S. is comme ci, comme ça, 1.9% growth. But the collective economies of the countries that use the euro will shrivel. Now let's do more numbers. A down Wednesday is following the record high Tuesday for the Dow, which rose 106 points to 15,409 yesterday. The FTSE 100 in London is currently down 1.2%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 1.6%. Today, booksellers and publishers are in New York City for the biggest publishing event in North America. It's called Book Expo, where independent retailers are not buckling under the pressure from fierce digital competition. Gigi Duban has this report.
If anyone's figured out that it's either change things up or get eaten alive, it's independent booksellers.
We're figuring it out, and stores are reinventing themselves and responding to change, and we're fighting back.
That's Oren Tyker, CEO of the American Booksellers Association. He says since 2009, more than 300 independent bookstores have opened, and store sales were up by 8% last year.
There are existing stores that are opening second or third locations.
But how's that possible? Tyker says bookstores are using new digital tools. They offer ebooks in the store and sell hard copies of books online. Michael Norris is senior analyst with Simba Information. He says it's about keeping those diehard customers close.
And you'd be hard-pressed to find a bookseller right now that isn't using Facebook, isn't using some other kind of social media site.
But what's mostly keeping independent bookstores afloat? The buy local movement and a good personal recommendation. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
An incoming personal finance missile. Despite some movement in Congress to alter the trajectory here, interest rates on some government-backed student loans will double July 1st. For more, let's turn to Adrian Hill of our program Marketplace Money. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right. I got three kids, all of them with student loans. What's the word on this interest rate hike?
Well, we're going to have to see what happens. But the other day, the House voted on a bill that would basically reset student interest rates based to the 10-year Treasury note. So student interest rates would be reset every year. Democrats are not a fan. The White House has threatened to veto. Senate Democrats want to keep the current 3.4% rate, but things could be headed up.
So a debate over whether or not the interest rate essentially floats. But what would the bill that is now passed in the House mean for students who have loans?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office guesses rates would go up from 3.4%, which is where federal Stafford loans are today, to as much as 5% in 2014 and over 7% by 2023. So bad news for you and your kids, David.
Now, I get that there's always risk in the equation when it comes to student loans, whether or not folks with the loans will repay. That said, the lenders are getting this money or borrowing the money themselves at not—
Far less. They're not
paying— 5%, right?
Not 5%. That's right.
All right. Let's turn to students graduating essentially this weekend or in the next week or so. When are they going to have to start paying back the loans?
Well, grace periods on student loans vary from loan to loan. What type of loan you have matters. But 6 months is pretty common. And these loan students are coming out with are big, big loans and big, big debts. TransUnion estimates student loan debt near $24,000. And I saw a new study from Fidelity that guesses that members of the class of 2013 have an average of $35,000 in debt.
Any tips once the first bill shows up in the mailbox or pops in and through the email?
We'll pay it.
Pay it. Good idea.
Pay it, yes. But if you're having trouble, all the experts that we talk to say you should contact your loan servicer right away. In some cases, they can defer your repayment. They can grant you a forbearance. There are things they can do that might be able to help you out. But everyone we talk to says call that loan servicer immediately.
Adrian Hill from Marketplace Money. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
And you know those printed squares full of digital gobbledygook? They're called QR codes. And if you scan them with a smartphone, they link to more info. Germany's Automobile Club is calling for car companies to paste QR codes onto vehicles to be scanned by first responders after a crash. It would link to info about how to turn off fuel lines and such. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.